What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Basic Pitch again. It's been a long time, and I have a cold. And my name's Harrison.
And my name's Kelvin.
And I'm Kate. Let's go.
And this week, we watched an incredible film called Interstellar that I had never seen before, that I've been waiting to watch for you guys to listen to my reaction. But we're going to talk about it. But we're going to keep it really brief because it's really late and it's snowing and I want to go home. And I got a long drive in front of me. But yeah, let's just immediately, as always, jump into our spoiler wall, which is our minute-long kind of spoiler-free reaction to the movie, ending with our, what is the word I'm searching for? Recommendation, whether we would or would not recommend the movie. And then we'll jump into the show. So, Cade, as the one who chose this movie for this week, you get the honors of starting our spoiler wall.
All right, let's do this. Okay, spoiler wall. This movie is almost 3 hours. I will give you that. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes long. So if you want to sit for that long, you are in for a massive treat. Because this movie is, one, directed by Christopher Nolan. So it has a sort of deductive cinematic feel. Because the story is, the way it's constructed, it feels very complex, but it all comes together in a 5 minute interval, 5-10 minute interval, we all connect and it just hits you and it blows your mind and you're just so amazed by it. If you're into those complicated movies, watch this 100%. If you're not, maybe dial it back, or maybe watch this with somebody else to help explain that to you. But this is one of my all time favorite movies. But Christopher Nolan is one of my all-time favorites. So any movie that he got going, I'm going to go and watch that.
All right, my turn. Time it, dude. Okay, this is Kelton speaking. So this is a fantastic movie. Like, just pretty much like what Cade said, it's incredible. Soundtrack, you get so pumped. I remember there was one scene where all three of us were on the edge of the seat, just like we couldn't breathe. We're like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Like, and I've seen this before. I knew it was going to happen, but I still got so drawn in. So if you love intense moments, this is the movie for you. But as well, if this movie does require a lot of thought and like deep thinking to understand it all. So I'd say the first 3/4 of the movie is perfect if you just want to sit back, enjoy a really cool like environment and setting and story, and just so you could like enjoy like some intense stuff. And then the last like quarter of the movie is where it explains everything. It gets kind of complicated. So if you just want something lighthearted and simple, just watch the first 3/4.
Yeah.
Because then you'll enjoy it. Oh, that was cool. Like awesome cinematography and everything. But the last quarter, like you got to buckle up because it's intense.
All right. So here we go. And again, this is the first time I've ever seen this movie. I've been waiting to do it. Sci-fi is my favorite genre. And this is one of those incredible sci-fi movies in every way that it expands our understanding, although it's completely fictionalized, of science and like Kelton said, creates a really contemplative and thought-provoking idea about our understanding and our relationship to time. So just great Christopher Nolan type storytelling out of time, and acting in this movie is very emotional. I cried multiple times. The score is incredibly powerful. The cinematography is amazing. The visual effects are incredible. The idea, the story, it all just brings you into this intense cinematic sci-fi experience that really was honestly kind of incomparable. It was so much fun to enjoy. It's also really fun to watch it with other people, which I really liked. It's a really good space movie, you know. I'm trying to think of an example, kind of like Apollo 13 or something like that, where that's kind of just more space drama and not so much science fiction, but at the same time being a great science fiction movie. So would I recommend this movie? Heck yes. Like, oh, how can you be a lover of movies and not watch this movie?
Right.
Shame on me. So thank you everyone for listening to our spoiler wall. If somehow you lived under a mountain like myself and have not seen this movie, it is worth the $4 it probably costs to rent it on Vudu. It is money well spent. Just buy it because you will want to rewatch it. But if you have not seen this movie, don't let it be spoiled. I'm grateful that somehow I've been able to avoid any spoilers for it. So stop listening now if you've not seen this movie. If you have seen this movie, continue on with us. We're about to jump into the rest of the podcast here. Breakdown of how it's going to go. First, as always, we're going to have our 2 cents where we talk about the movie for 2 minutes uninterrupted, but we can get more into the spoilers. Followed up by Does It Live Up, which is our section talking about the person who picked the movie, why they chose to share it with someone who had not seen it, being Cade, choosing to share it with me. And then my responses about what my reaction, what my expectations were, and did it live up to those expectations as someone never seen it before. Following Does It Live Up, we're going to do Mind Blank. What is after that? Yeah, Pick Your Poison. After Pick Your Poison, which is just our personal rating scale, we're going to do Binge Points. We'll do that real quickly. And Least and Likes, and then, of course, Fall In, which we all love. So we will get started with
2 cents.
2 cents. Goodness gracious, my mind is. Kay, do you want to go first again? As this is your movie, so to speak.
All right, let's do this. Kay, this movie. I just realized something while I'm sitting here, as we just diving into this, is that Christopher Nolan, the way he has portrayed movies, it's kind of hard to spoil movies because it's so complicated that you can't really spoil a movie where everyone dies, or this person's this person, or something like that. You have to really explain in detail in order to spoil Christopher Nolan movies. So, because I think about Inception, it's kind of hard to spoil that movie. You kind of have to explain it in depth. Interstellar is the same thing. And I'm sure in this next coming film called Tenet, which, holy crap, I'm excited for that. But it's hard to spoil his movies, and I really love that. Also, I've watched this about 7 times.
Wow.
And I actually watched this back-to-back once. The only other movie that I actually watched back-to-back was Inception. That's another Christopher Nolan movie. I'm just a huge fan of his work. But I will say this, watching this movie in this atmosphere with the three of us and analyzing it and just breaking it down, I realized how gut-wrenching, heartbreaking this freaking movie is. Like, I was really invested in the movie because it was just so captivating with the story, but looking back and just kind of putting myself in these characters' shoes, like Cooper in the movie. What's his first name? I can't remember his name. It was called him Cooper. Anyhow, the main protagonist, his experience, his struggles and everything, putting myself in his shoes is just, oh my gosh, I cried. I broke down a lot in this movie. So this movie is top 10 of all time because I just love the complexity and I love the story and I love the emotion, cinematography, soundtrack, and the longevity of this movie.
All right, my turn. Set the timer.
Timer.
Okay, so a lot like Cade said, this is a movie where you could get really invested, and not just like with like feelings and everything, of like when you get like sad at the sad moments. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I cried every time Cooper like had a moment with his daughter Murph. Because it's so sad, because I feel we've all had dads. We know, like, what a good dad is. Like, I even made this comment during the movie. I was like, wow, like, Cooper is a fantastic dad. And just seeing him, like, suffer and, like, know, like, he can't be with his daughter. Like, he missed out on her life. All sorts of things like that. It just hits you hard. But along with that, this movie draws you in so well with the music and the intensity of what needs to happen. Like, I think, for example, when they go to that planet where everything's water, the soundtrack really just, like, gets you going.
Gosh.
And I want to point something out about that later in Binge Points, but it just totally draws you in, and it's, like, kind of slow, and then you know it needs to happen, and you know, like, time there goes by really quick, and you're just cheering for everyone. You're just so sucked into just you feel like you're a part of the crew as they, like, go throughout their adventures. And so it just makes it so entertaining, so much fun to watch. Like, I've seen this once before all the way through, but I've seen, like, clips, like, countless of times before. So this is the second time seeing it all the way through start to finish. But I'd obviously forgotten parts, but it was fantastic. Even though I knew, like, the final things, how everything happened, it still felt like such a fantastic movie to watch. And I would totally be down to watch this from start to finish right now because it was that good. So, and just I feel like music and emotions play a big role in movies, and Interstellar does a fantastic job of incorporating both of those to make you feel like you're there in the movie and to help you enjoy it as well.
All right, start my 2 minutes.
So excited for your take, Harrison.
Okay, holy smokes, this movie. I want to see what I wrote down here. I was just really, really impressed with this and kind of like don't want to get too much into it, but like, wow, this is a movie that it has so many different things that I generally relate to a specific genre movie. It has the thought-provoking, contemplative, like trying to better understand our relationship to our existence type of contemplative stuff, but it also has those literally sitting on the edge of your seat squeezing a pillow because you can't breathe, like intense, to like incredible, like percussive score just building, and it just like each moment is another addition in like this movie's understanding of what cinema viewing is, like understanding emotion and sound, and like just as a movie in general, like just the understanding of what a movie is incredible. But it is mind-blowing the ideas that it causes you to contemplate without answering, and you could go down a big, never-ending, unanswerable hole trying to figure this movie out, or you can just sit back and understand and be involved in the emotions of each character and cry like I did, because it really is so sad. I'm struggling to find words to describe what I feel about this movie because there's literally just so much stuff to unpack about it that I don't know where to start, and my mind's still wrapping itself around something, viewing it for the first time. But I was just amazed at how it took the turn that I didn't expect. Like the ending and how it was really them that came back and how he survived and he was going to undock and how Matt Damon's dude was actually an idiot and like he wasn't actually there to save him. And like I was just not expecting any of that. Like this movie's kind of slow. Like Yeah, an hour through, I had to pause it to take a phone call. I was like, it's been an hour? Like, nothing's happened yet. Like, of course, emotion had been there, but, like, there was no high stakes. And then all of a sudden, it just goes light speed. And, man, I feel like that was a useless 2 cents because I'm just trying to understand what I even think about this movie. But we'll move on to Does It Live Up? So, Cade, you chose the movie for this week. Okay. Did you know that I had not seen this movie before?
I did not know you had seen this movie before. Okay. Before I mentioned of how much I like this movie.
Okay.
When you did mention it, I was just, completely overjoyed. I was just like a little kid and on Christmas Day. I was like, oh, you're in for a treat, man. Because, so many reasons why. But I shared it because this movie is worthy to break down and just talk about. This is the movie's perfect for our podcast. So I knew it was just a golden nugget waiting to be cracked. So that was part of the reason. Another part was this, I just wanted your take because going into depth about this, I love your point of view on these things. So I was just so hyped to hear what you thought about it. And your reaction is too, like, at the climax, just like, oh, I was so awesome. When I watched this movie, I was all by myself. So I was just like, oh my gosh, I wanted to talk to somebody about it. Yeah, exactly. What about you?
So my expectations for this was obviously that it was a Christopher Nolan film, so that it was going to be non-traditional storytelling in an incredibly well-done, well-thought way, that it was going to be a great story with a great score. Like, all of those typical Christopher Nolan expectations were there. I also knew that it was a sci-fi movie that everyone loved, but, like, there's so many different types, because I love sci-fi. Like I've said, it's my favorite genre. I read a lot of books. I watch a lot of TV shows and movies. So you have things from, like, Ad Astra to Apollo 13 to Interstellar to Ender's Game. I'm trying to think of other movies here. Blade Runner. Like, there's so many different ways that a sci-fi movie could go. So, like, and I knew this was a space movie, but I didn't understand what it was. And it, so, like, I just knew it was going to be good. That my expectations, I don't really know what they were. But any expectation I possibly could have had about this movie, whether it was the score or the acting or the storytelling or the sci-fi or the Christopher Nolan-ness of it, all of which I knew were good in this movie, I could not have had my expectations high enough for this movie, because it just blew me out of the water. Like, automatically,
oh, that's awesome.
Easily top five movies all time right now.
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
Oh, I love it.
This
love
is a sweet movie. So, yeah, we're moving right along here. We'll move on to Pick Your Poison, our personal ranking scale, which is bottom of the list, never watch again, which we've yet to pick. Then above that is streaming services. So I'd watch it if it was on a streaming service that I already am subscribed to and I need something to do. Above that is paying a few bucks to rent it. And then, of course, top of the list is to buy it. And I'll go first. I had already bought the movie. I bought it on Black Friday because I knew it was great. Everyone talked about it. I love Christopher Nolan. I want to get all his movies. But okay, so having not bought it before, how would I rank this movie on our scale? Most definitely, I would buy it. In fact, I have such faith in the quality of this movie that I would buy this as a gift for someone else, whether they had or hadn't seen it, because I just know that they would love it. You know what I mean? Like I could confidently buy this movie for someone else, not necessarily knowing whether they had or hadn't seen it or what their taste in movies is. Because I just feel like most people, maybe a few exceptions, a few anomalies, would just enjoy it. It's just so...
Yeah.
You can confidently buy
it. It's almost
movie.
Like that rating of like picking your person, like I would buy this somebody. It's kind of like a golden nugget. Like it's just the top of the top.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, quote unquote poison.
Like this is so good that you can confidently give it to people knowing that they would also enjoy it. So yeah, I would definitely buy it.
I would buy this for somebody. I would recommend the crap out of this movie because it's a fantastic movie. Favorite. Like Harrison said, top five, and it's so I'm in the same boat as Harrison.
Yep, I would buy it, but here's the thing: I would buy it for someone, and then I would watch it with them.
Yes,
because that would make I'm gonna enjoy the crap out of it. But it's so cool to watch it with someone who hasn't seen it before, because you get into it with them, even though you already know what's gonna happen.
Because like the hype, like when we watch it with you, I remember I watched this so many times before, but you got into it. And I was like, it drew me in just as much when I first watched it.
Yeah, it just speaks to the quality of it that seeing someone else view it for the first time draws you in the same way, in a way that not many other movies can do.
So go freaking buy this movie, guys. That's three
or come watch
solid.
It with us.
Oh, that'd be cool too.
That'd be cool.
That'd be
tweet at us. Buy a plane ticket.
Come watch with us.
Come
watch this with us.
Yeah, those guys are chilling in like freaking Europe. Get over here, man. Like, let's watch this.
We'll FaceTime and watch together.
Okay. All right. So yeah, Poison. Easy pick. Binge points. I've seen this for the first time. I was just trying to comprehend what this masterpiece is that I don't really know how many bench points I actually have.
Kelton has one.
Oh, yeah.
I think I know what it is.
It's the one on the water planet. So each tick, I looked it up. Yeah. Each tick of the soundtrack actually represents like 1.25 days. So in literally that like 3-minute scene.
I was curious. I heard the ticks, and I was like, how much? I was trying to figure out in my head, like, how much time is that? And I just,
it's
way too much.
Yeah, I looked it up, but it's like 1.25 days. And I think, first off, that's way cool, and it definitely gives a great sense of urgency in
yes,
that scene.
Yes, just gripping.
Because everyone knows that Cooper wants to be there as little time as possible to see if that's a habitable planet. Because he doesn't want to miss, you know, his kids' lives growing up. And so, like, and the ticking just... You get antsy and you just want to, you know, get the heck out of there. And then, like, this freaking giant wave comes and it just makes it that much better. But, yeah, each tick and each minute it speeds up another 10 seconds. Like, so it definitely, like, that's, like, genius.
Hans Zimmer, man.
Genius, like, soundtrack and, like, incorporating that to, like, the effects, like, the feelings of the movie. So, very cool.
I had two binge points after hearing you say that. The first one is the visual effects. So this movie won the Oscar for visual effects. Of course, because the visual effects in this movie just look incredible, but also like the ability to use visual effects to further tell the emotion of the story. Like, I remember when they went into the black hole for the first time, like, how the heck are you supposed to portray a black hole in film? Like, all right.
Black hole or
like,
the,
you,
has it ever been done
the
before?
Warp or the wormhole?
The wormhole, sorry. Yeah. So when they come in from they come in from our universe, our galaxy, like, how do you do that? All right, VFX team, let's go through a black hole today. Like, so it was really amazing. Like, it really felt like time and space was bending around me as I was watching the movie. Like, it looked curved, and it was, I can't explain it because
it seemed legit. Like, yeah, if I were to go through a wormhole, that's how it
was. I was like,
well,
this make, like, there was never a moment where my suspension of disbelief was gone. The way they used the VFX to further make me feel like my time and space around me was being stretched. I was just amazed, like, wow, I don't know who came up with this. Because it wasn't just like they stretched something out on the side of the screen. Like, who knows? I'm not a VFX artist. They did a great job, though. The other binge point I have is, so I remember the first time when they fly up in whatever, what is it called?
Durance.
No, they fly up to the Durance in the, whatever their ship is called, starts with an R, Ranger or something like that,
yeah,
and they're docking for the first time, and they like dock totally fine, like nothing happens, but the intense music is playing. I was like, come on, like not another Apollo 13 where it doesn't connect perfectly. And I was like, just those typical, like, it's not docking, like we got it, you know, like I was like,
we have a problem.
Yeah, like I was just expecting that to happen, and then I was like, oh, they docked fine, like phew, expectations averted, like good job, like cliche dodge. But then that moment came back and was like 20 times more intense when it was spinning. It was like, all right, like you did the cliche dodgeball thing. Now you're going to take it, come and just like make it even better. Like, oh my gosh. I was just like, wow. Like you just know what you're doing.
And part of like the way I've like the way this movie has gone down, the way Inception has gone down. I will say this though. I want to, like, watching these movies, I want to walk away from it and say that is fact. That is real. That's how stuff works, because it's just so convincing. But I don't have any other binge points.
All right, I think that moves us on to our least and likes.
So our least favorite scene and our favorite scene.
My least favorite scene is when what's her name? The daughter of the doctor. I can't remember, but we all know who she
Anne
is.
Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, but yeah, the actor, like after, yeah, when Cooper and the other guy decide to go to Mill's planet or whatever,
Miller's planet.
Yeah, no, the other one, Mund or whatever.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like the ice planet. I mean, I get this because it's like naturally like human nature to do this, but she like made it super personal. She got like super pissed at Cooper, which I don't know. Yeah, it's just least favorite, but I still like enjoy it. I saw it was like critical to the movie. But I just don't like how she, like, made it super personal and she got, like, super pissed. Which is understandable, like I said, human nature. And that could be, like, actually, like, meant to be in that film. But I just didn't like that part. Because it just felt like she was making a lot of assumptions and she kind of started attacking Cooper for his decision. So, that part I was just like, eh. But that's it. So.
Yeah, that scene, it wasn't my least, but I remember watching them being like, ah. Like, and I don't want this to come off the wrong way, like, I say this very carefully, I'm on thin ice, but like my experience with most women is they respond to things very, very emotionally. So like her response was very realistic to me, but like my logical, like non-emotional brain was like, just get over it. Like, come on. Like, but like I understood the realism in that. But I did not like it. It annoyed me. The my least was when the brother, what like brother. Cooper's son, whatever his name is, he like decked that dude that was helping his kids, like saying he's got to leave. I was like, what? Like, why are you a jerk? Like, this dude's trying to.
He's just
kind of
like this in this
like,
depressive state. And so that came off as, I was like, this guy needs just to get over himself.
He scared me though. Like, when he came back and they hugged later, I was like, is he like going to like shove away from the hug?
Oh,
and,
yeah,
like,
when homie pulls out that like freaking
like, what's happening?
Tire jack to defend himself.
Oh, I was so
like, I was
nervous.
Like, oh, shoot,
so
he's about to go down.
At first, I thought he was going to run him over.
Yeah. I appreciated that they just hugged, but like that one scene where he just decked him, I was like, what? And like, I understand that it like adds to the suspense, but I didn't like that. So, anyway, did you have a least favorite, Cade? Or is it just perfect for you?
It's just. It's darn close, perfect. But there's points where Anne Hathaway or that her character was just like being so personal toward Cooper, it created conflict of like, okay, she's telling him it's, you're being too personal about this. It's about the mission, but then she's being personal while attacking him personally. So it creates a conflict.
And the whole thing when they're on the water planet where he's like, get the heck back here. And she's like, I gotta get the data. It's like, we're gonna die. The data doesn't matter, like, if we can't do anything with the data, you know? It's
actually, I have a different lease. My least favorite thing was at the very end of the movie when he gets in the plane with the robot. I forgot with Tars and goes to see her. And then it ended. The credits start. I was like, no, he's got to land on a planet and they got to smooch on the lips. That's what I wanted.
I will say that I wanted it just to add like a dialogue of some sort. So add 10 more minutes. You're at 2 hours and 45 minutes. Just throw on some 10 more minutes.
But I could see why they
it was a typical like contemplative revelatory like sci-fi ending. Yeah. Where it's just like kind of open ended, but like closed at the same time.
In a Christopher Nolan kind of way, because like in Inception, the top is still spinning, kind of a thing.
It was very sci-fi and very Christopher Nolan and very open and closed at the same time.
I bet you, if you go back and like slow down, like analyze that last scene or some sort of point where we can tell he's coming, just he's arriving or of some sort. Like in Inception, where we found out that, spoiler alert for Inception, that his wedding ring is his totem, that kind of thing. But we can go back at that later, but just...
Yeah, we're reaching our time mic. We're set for ourselves. So move on to favorite.
Can we all come together collectively where he's like, what are you doing? I'm docking. Dialogue.
Oh, the dialogue's so good. He's like, that's impossible. He's like, yes, but it's necessary. Or something like that. Like, that whole...
Are you docking? That's impossible. No, it's necessary. It's like...
That scene, like literally, no joke, all three of us were leaned forward on the edge of our seats. And I was squeezing a pillow. I could hardly breathe. And then as soon as it ended, we all like leaned back in our chair like, oh, we can breathe. But yeah, that was already going to be my favorite. Like that, oh my gosh.
A movie that can make you do that is, that's just some quality. Like really, that's a great movie.
That scene itself was like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Oh, he can't dock. He's going to screw it up. He's going to screw up. And he screwed it up. It's like, frick, now what? And then the music just cranks into freaking high mode. And he's got to dock.
It's like, cramp to 11.
But your honorable mention goes to the whole rest of the movie for how cool things looked. I personally love the ice planet. I thought that was so cool. Like with the black and the white and the gray, three colors, but it looks so cool. So yeah, the whole rest of the movie, I think I speak for all of us, gets like an honorable
mention. The whole rest of the movie gets an honorable mention. I mean, really, it's true though. This movie's so good.
I will say this, so like the other honorable mention I'll say is when he just connects and like all like he's her ghost, and that all that connects. That scene is, I'd say, is an honorable mention. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I just want to mention this because I thought it was way cool. It was more of a binge point. I forgot it. The aspect ratio changes a ton. It goes from like completely filling the screen to the wide angle to like fill the screen to wide angle to like even wider wide angle.
And it was like, I kind of noticed that.
Like
slightly.
It went from moments to like feeling open and vast to like closed in and cramped and like focused. It was just
as if it's like it's the earth is like limited and it's dying off.
It was so well done. So yeah, anyway, should we move to Fallen, because we're very
Fallen, here's the meat of the podcast where we talk about messages within the movie, where messages that impacted us that we actually, you know, that could really apply to our lives and to how we should go about our, how we should act and how we should treat each other. I'll go first since I should recommend this movie. The father and the way a father, what a father's impact can do and what his promises he can make to his children, like what kind of impact that can give to somebody. Because you can say that Murphy Cooper, the role was completely against her, right? Even her mentors, and she was told to doubt her father and everything. But at the very end, where she's like 150 years old or some sort, she says, well, how did you not give up? How? Like, she was asked the question, how? And she said, my dad made me a promise that he would come back. And it's an emotional masterpiece. It makes me feel like I want to be a father. And it makes me, puts me in the shoes of, if I was a father, would I be this invested with my kids? And there's a point where Cooper and Dr. Brand, Anne Hathaway, get in an argument after they screwed up on Miller's planet, where he says, when you become a father, if something becomes incredibly clear that the one thing you need to do is to make sure your kids feel safe. So telling a 10-year-old the world is ending is not an option. Like, that was a big argument and tense, but that one phrase is just, it makes you want to be a father and to be a good father. Yeah. And it makes me want to just love my kids despite them not being here quite yet. I can go quite in depth about this, but that's what I really want to hit hard on about this movie, how much I love that, because that story, that dialogue, that message is just so deep to me personally. It's just beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
I think I totally agree with what you said, Kate, about the whole parent relationship with their children. And I think this one quote that I just absolutely loved when he said it, and that kind of just hit home for me, even though, like, I obviously, like, don't have kids or anything, but, like, I just thought this was really cool. And Cooper's talking to Murphy, like, right when he's about to leave, and he just says, once you're a parent, you're the ghost of your children's future. That I thought that was so freaking cool. I'll just say it again, just for emphasis. Once you're a parent, you're the ghost of your children's future. I think that wraps. You could spend a lot of time thinking about that.
And think about, like,
what it means for you.
Real fast, when Murphy would say things on the recordings to her father, some of those things that she said, usually parents don't hear that. But because of his specific situation, he heard that, and it was incredibly emotional. And he was just in tears and bawling. That
was a great moment of acting right there. Oh my gosh. Yeah. When he got on that video and, like, the joy he's had in seeing his kids, but, like, the tears, I was like, oh my gosh. Like,
it's so sad.
Oh yeah. So I that would be such a confusing emotion. That's really interesting watching this movie. You guys, like, I totally agree with you. The focus and messages about parenting, which are phenomenal. Like, they really are. But it's interesting that, like, that really, like, it, of course I noticed it, but, like, I didn't really think about it to the extent that you did. And I was thinking about something totally different, which is so weird. It's weird to me, especially because I've been watching and reading so much sci-fi, and that in a lot of sci-fi books, like, and movies, there's this continual story with the human fight to survive. And if we can't survive, the current existing humans can't survive, to preserve the human race by extending embryos or a colony to live on somewhere else. And, like, why? Like, why does the human race deserve some fight to survive? Like, why do we deserve survival? Because we're smart enough to figure out how to survive and just to continue and procreate and let humans continue to live? And, like, I don't have the answers, of course, but it's interesting to, like, contemplate, like, why is there such a fight to survive? Do I deserve survival? Do I need survival? Like, what is my relationship to survival? But also, like, what is my relationship to my survival within time, especially in this movie? Like, if the future us build this thing to go later impact the past that we're unconnected to, like, my brain's kind of unraveling in itself right now. But it's weird to think about, like, our existence and our relationship, either, especially as a parent, to, like, all these things. Like, as a parent, what is my relationship to survival over this child that I have protection over and I need to protect? As a ghost, you know, what? I don't know. I don't have the answer. It's just like, what? Why am I so deserving of this thing we call survival? Like, why? What? And like, the Dr. Mann, he talked about it, and he thought that why, like, that was his great revelation that he realized on this planet, and that he was going back to tell people, was that there's this instinct at the end of your life to survive a little bit longer, to see your family, and, like, somehow that was his great revelation to save the world, like. I mean, that's really amazing and really touching, but, like, what? Nice. Yeah, like, that's thoughtful of you to think about me. You're dead. Like, I don't know. It's really interesting to, like, contemplate these things and not know the answer, but, like, know that I agree with what they're saying.
It's like, it almost feels good contemplating
it. Yeah. It's just like, I don't understand why I feel such a desire as a human race to survive and to protect this thing we call a human race. But I'm going to protect it, that's for sure. And I'm going to do that as a parent, and I'm going to do that as a citizen, as a human. But it's like,
the way to do it is as a parent.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, well, I'm just going to procreate and have good children. I'm going to protect them, and then they're going to do the same thing. And it's survival, I guess.
It's like one of the best quotes ever of a movie, actually. It's from the movie WALL-E. It's the captain responding to the robot. It's like, I don't want to survive. I want to live.
Yeah.
Like, and that, this is another great example of that.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I don't have the answers to any of these questions, but it's cool to think about. I love movies like this that I finish the movie and I keep thinking about, like, what if?
What if?
What does that mean? What if? Like, what? What do I mean? What does any of this mean?
What if and how and, yeah, it's, oh, it's, that's why I love this movie so much. But we are out of time.
I feel like if we were just to continue to talk about it, we'd just go in circles anyway.
Yeah.
Like it.
Kind of. Slowly turn to mush.
Yeah. So we'll leave it where it's actually still somewhat put together. Let your brain turn it to mush. But thank you, Cade, for suggesting this movie and finally allowing me to get the opportunity to watch it. That was a blast to watch with you guys.
All right. Go watch it, guys. So, you'll love it. I promise you.
You guys will. Go watch it again. Even if you've seen it before. And Kelton, next week, you seemed kind of up in the air. So originally it was Edge of Tomorrow, and then it was A Quiet Place, and then it was Edge of Tomorrow, and then it was maybe A Quiet Place.
And then maybe The Martian.
Maybe The Martian. But so, we don't own The Martian, and I can't go buy it right now.
I have it. I have it.
Oh, you do? Okay.
So
we got to decide right now.
Right now? Right now. Shoot! Okay. Have you guys seen A Quiet Place?
Yeah, we have.
Okay, freak.
I haven't seen Edge of Tomorrow.
You haven't seen Edge of Tomorrow, Kate? Neither of you have seen The Martian?
No.
Right.
It's on my list. I've been wanting to watch it.
I will say this. I have planned later, after we finish MCU Phase 3, like a designated time period to like great sci-fi movies.
Okay.
So maybe we could save The Martian for then. I don't know. But
let's do Edge of Tomorrow. All right. Because
okay.
Right. That was like one of the original ones I talked about watching. I remember talking to you, Harrison, about it.
So next week is Edge Tomorrow, but thanks for listening and have a great week. I'm sorry I have a cold, but see you later. Ciao.
What to do, baby?
It's at home, dogs.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.